this morning, as we come to the Word with that thought of Jesus reigning. He doesn't just want to reign when he says over all. He's not talking about the world, although he does reign over the world. He also wants to reign over you. Listen to this. By the Holy Spirit. Here's what he wants to do in you. He wants to reign in you. And he says, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you do not do the things that you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, listen to this, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions. We could go on and on with that list there. But the fruit of the Spirit, those who are ruled by God, who He reigns over their heart, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May we be ruled by God through the Holy Spirit, that we would produce such fruit. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come and we recognize this morning, Lord, that we are often rebel hearts. We are often saints who still struggle with sin. Father, we recognize that as long as we're in this flesh, in this age, Lord, there will be tension, there will be struggle. And God, we pray this morning that you'll just take us a step further to overcome those struggles, Lord, those big struggles that we have in life, Lord. Today in particular, God, I pray as we think about anger. Father, there are undoubtedly men and women in this congregation that this is a serious struggle for them. But for those that we'd say, well, it's not serious, but nevertheless, it's there for every one of us, Lord, as an opportunity that the devil would love to take hold of and use. And so, Father, I pray you'd come and be with us today. Father, I also pray not just that we would understand anger, but if there's one here this morning who has never turned from sin and trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, I pray, God, today would be the day they would see their absolute need, their absolute bankruptcy before you, Father. And they would see that you have offered them all that they need in Jesus Christ. And they would run to Christ this morning and be saved even today, God. Just move in our midst. God, this service is yours. You reign over the service just like you reign over our hearts. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, well, amen. Well, grab your seat and grab your copy of God's Word and go with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. I don't think I've ever been madder in my life. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about a moment that happened 25 years ago. It's still that fresh in my mind. When a fifth grader at summer camp threw a tree nut and hit me upside the head. Now, you've probably heard me tell this story because this is this is one of those moments that stuck with me. What kind of nut was it? I know you want to know that. I don't know. It was bigger than an acorn, smaller than a walnut. I think it was probably a hickory nut, all right? Which is a good size, right? There's some mass behind a hickory nut, all right? And I was there, I was a camp staffer, around 20 years old there at Camp Lucon, trying to have a moment of spiritual connection after taking the fifth and sixth graders across Camp Lucon's zip line. And it was a beautiful scene. I mean, all these little angels were hunkered down there amongst leaves and logs, listening to Brother Ben bring a beautiful word from God, trying to connect what we had just experienced to their walk with Jesus. I mean, it was not quite Sermon on the Mount, okay? But about as close as you're going to get with a group of preteens in the backwoods of South Central Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? But little did I know that amongst all them angels was a devil. I was making a key point when from my left side came hurtling this hickory nut, man, and I did not see it coming. Like, because back in those days, I still had cat-like reflexes. You know what I'm saying? I would have dodged that, but not that day. I didn't see it coming, man, and it hurt. When I felt that impact, kaboom, right? I don't know if he went on to pitch in college, but he had a good shot at that point. I'm telling you, he whirled that thing at me, and without thinking about it, y'all, look, all the rage I've ever had in my life just filled me. I mean, it was automatic. Just brought on by that fight or flight response in our body. And look, y'all, I was ready to fight. And so what did I do? I grabbed that boy up and I began to shake him like a tree. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do, man. Oh, my goodness. I wanted to do that. Instead, I caught myself, gave him a very stern talking to, and then I actually turned and I said, look, to my co-worker, my co-minister, they're like, you got to take this. I'm done. And I walked off, right? I mean, sometimes it's better to walk off and just cool down, man. Hey, anger is a very powerful emotion, right? It'll hulk you out in a heartbeat. And for that reason, someone once pointed out that anger is only one letter short of danger. You ever heard that before? Anger is just one letter short of danger. It can be very dangerous. I mean, people lose relationships, jobs, even lives every single day because of anger unrestrained. It's like a fire. Yes, it can warm you, or it can burn down everything you have. Therefore, we got to learn how to handle the fire of anger well, to handle it biblically. And that's what I pray we'll do as we pick back up our series. We have this week and then one more week left in this six-part series where we're just looking at the Bible, just real practical messages in this series, Overcomer, all right? Biblical answers for life's biggest struggles. And we're going to take our primary text this morning from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, all right? Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27, just two verses today. The Bible here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul, says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. I'm not even going to take an opportunity or a risk here to even say, who here would say they struggle with anger? Because I know us. There are moments when we all struggle with this, right? It may not be your regular way of handling things, but you let your blood sugar get a little low about 11:30 or maybe 12:30, right? And all of a sudden you get hangry. It happens to all of us, right? We are physical creatures who have this emotion, and it's so powerful, sometimes we struggle to control it. But that's what we want to learn to do today. We want to handle anger biblically. So I want to point you to four actions this morning to help us do that, all right? Four actions. First is you have to realize that anger is not necessarily sinful. This is really key, really important, right? This is where we really dig into the Bible and to see what the Bible has to say here, because somewhere along the way, there are a lot of Christians, many, many Christians have misunderstood anger itself to be sinful. I often have people say to me, oh, Pastor Ben, I got mad and I know that was wrong. They just go into confession mode. And I say, well, not necessarily. It may not have been wrong to get mad in that moment. Notice what our text says here, verse 26. Be angry on one hand, that's one hand, and yet do not sin. That's another hand, right? Be angry, but do not sin. So that means there are two categories here. Two categories. This is actually quoting just Psalm 4:4. Psalm 4:4 says, tremble and do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed and be still. Now, the word tremble there, you say, well, it didn't say be angry. How do you know that the word tremble is not talking about fear, Ben? Well, that's because the word tremble is used to characterize and to describe the rumble that thunder makes, right? That rattle and that roar that thunder makes. It's to tremble and to rumble with power when it says to tremble here. To tremble and rumble with power and fury and anger. Just like when that thunder hits, kaboom, and the whole house shakes. There's fury and wrath behind that, right? Tremble and do not sin. be angry and yet do not sin. So there's indeed a category of true anger that is not sinful. In fact, y'all, the Bible tells us over and over again that God is holy, 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 meaning there is no sin in him, yet the Bible also tells us that he expresses anger in certain situations. We learn in Psalm 7, for instance, that God is a righteous judge and is angry with the wicked every day. That's how the King James says it. He's angry with the wicked every day. Numbers 11, we read that the people of Israel, they began to complain and it displeased the Lord. And the Bible says that it kindled his anger, causing him to rain fire down from heaven on the outer parts of the camp there. In 2 Kings 17, we read that God was very angry with the rogue nation of Israel after it divided off from Judah, and he removed them from his sight, the Bible says. He wiped Israel, the northern kingdom, the wicked kingdom, off the face of the earth through the nation of Assyria. So we see God pouring out his wrath and his anger all throughout the Bible. We even see it particularly in the manifestation of Christ, right? God in the flesh, who walked into that temple and saw what he saw, and it infuriated him, righteous anger, and he flipped over tables and drove out money changers. So there are all of these instances of anger, yet they are godly anger, righteous anger. So that's a category that every single one of us should get in our brain. There is righteous anger. I say to you this morning, look, there are some things you should be mad about. Like when somebody messes with your spouse or with your kids. Yo, it's time for Mama Bear to come out, right? It's time for Papa Bear to come out. Or like the weak and the vulnerable when they get exploited. Like, it should make you mad when your grandmother gets scammed by that scum on the phone, right? It should make you mad. Or when somebody blasphemes God or twists scripture, right? That's not cool. That's not right. It should anger you. When people sin and persist in sin and unrepentance, we don't just look the other way. We don't laugh about it or say, oh, it doesn't matter. No, no, no. It should scandalize us. It should make us angry. When you've told your child for the third time to come downstairs, you should be angry. Beloved, to be honest with you, we ain't mad enough about some things. You know what I'm saying? I would just submit to you, one of the reasons the United States of America is in the situation that it's in is because there have been Christians who have not been mad about the things that they should be mad about. We're not angry about what makes God angry. There are things that we should be mad about, and that's not sinful. In fact, I want to say this to you, to not be angry in some situations is actually what is sinful. You should be righteously angry. But that brings us to the second action to help us handle anger biblically, and that is to see the potential danger of anger. Look at what it says here in verse 26, Ephesians 4:26, be angry and yet do not sin. Why does he have to say that? Because there's a real danger here, isn't there? There's a real potential that our anger will lead to sin. Remember, anger is only one letter short of danger, and that danger is sin. Sin is dangerous, y'all. Sinful anger damages our self, right? I mean, think about the last time you really got mad. You run around with your chest all tight, all wound up, all pressurized, blowing your stack like Yosemite Sam. I mean, it's crazy what it does to our body. Our blood pressure just shoots off the chart. Mark Twain, he had a way with words, as you well know. He captured the damage to ourselves so well from anger when he said this. He said, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it's stored than to anything on which it is poured. That's good. That's good. But sinful anger doesn't just damage us. It damages others, right? Physically, mentally, spiritually. it can often lead to even a deadly situation. I mean, I asked you this morning, what drove Cain to kill Abel? Wasn't it his anger? It was his sinful anger? Well, let's go back to Chandler, Arizona. 4 years ago, almost, a moment of unchecked anger at a red light dispute, it turned deadly. 54-year-old Gabriel Paul Horcasitas drew a handgun, fatally shot 37-year-old Army veteran Christopher Peckley. And after the two exchanged words, the shots were fired. And so what began as an irritation escalated seconds later into an irreversible act. And nearly 4 years later, just this past May, Horcasitas was convicted of manslaughter and was sentenced to 10 and a half years in prison. I'll go to June of 2023 in Ocala, Florida. Ajiki Owens, 35-year-old mother, she went to confront her neighbor, 58-year-old Susan Lawrence. Susan Lawrence had allegedly harassed her children. She had reportedly thrown a roller skate at one and had swung an umbrella at the other one. And so Owens said, I'm going to take care of this. I'm sick of this. I'm mad at this. I'm going to go take care of this. And of course, Lawrence was mad as well, wasn't she? Lawrence was mad. And so Owens walked up to the lady's door and began to bang on it. And Lawrence pulled out her .380 pistol and began to shoot through the door. Didn't even open the door. Killing the mother. Again, later convicted of first-degree felony manslaughter. Now you say, Ben, those are extreme examples. They are extreme. But let me ask you this. Are they uncommon? Are they uncommon? No, these things happen all the time. You don't have to leave Lauderdale County to see examples just like this very commonly. But consider the example of Moses. This one didn't turn deadly, but anger got the best of him. There in Numbers 20, Moses, he was leading the people in the wilderness as they were wandering along, man, and they were a tough bunch. I mean, can you imagine trying to lead the Israelites in the Sinai desert? Oh my goodness, right? He was leading them along, and one day he had enough of them because they complained about being thirsty, and they just wouldn't drop it, and they were so ugly toward Moses. And so he gathered them up, and God said, yes, of course, Moses, we're gonna give them something to drink. And so God said, Moses, go speak to the rock that's before their eyes that it may yield its water so that the people and the livestock can be quenched of their thirst. But Moses was so angry, the Bible tells us. And as a demonstration of his anger, he didn't speak to the rock like he was told. No, he took the rod that God had given him to lead the people out of Egypt, and he took it and he struck the rock twice to demonstrate, I'm mad at y'all. I'm doing this, but I don't want to. I wish God would just kill every one of you in the desert. He did that in a moment to show how angry he was. And while the water poured out, God said, Moses, that was sin, and you will not lead my people into the promised land any longer. Moses took them up, as you all know, to the border. And then he died. And Joshua took him on in. Unrighteous anger, sinful anger, y'all, has some real serious consequences. And the devil loves to use our sin in our anger. He loves to use that, all right? That's why we got to be careful with anger. Again, just as our text says in Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil an opportunity. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a handhold. Don't give him an inch. He would love to exploit your anger to make a mess and a wreck of your life. So again, anger isn't necessarily sinful, but when it is, y'all, it's dangerous, which means that you and I need to better understand when it crosses that line. So that takes me to the third thing I want to point out to you this morning. I want us to understand when anger becomes sinful. When does anger become sinful? Now, there's a lot I could say here, okay? I just want to start you off on the mini pack here for a moment, okay? All right? I could give you the whole enchilada. I'm just going to give you the starter pack, all right? When does anger cross the line over into sin? I want to give you an acrostic this morning. It's RAGE, R-A-G-E. And these letters stand for words. And in each scenario, this is one of the ways that we cross the line over from righteous anger into sinful anger. R. R is react. Anger moves into sinfulness when I just react to a situation, when I just respond without thinking. It was the Civil War vet, abolitionist, orator, Robert Greene Ingersoll, who once said, he said, anger is a wind that blows out the lamp of the mind. I think that's a good way of saying that. Anger is a wind which blows out the lamp of the mind. You see, when that adrenaline and that norepinephrine and that cortisol and that testosterone, man, when they surge in your body, we can find out real quickly that our brain gets routed around, doesn't it? All of a sudden, the brain is not in the sequence of action here. We easily lose our mind. Maybe you felt that way before, right? You got so angry, you lost your mind. We even have testimonies from people that got so angry, they said, I can't even remember what happened. They have amnesia from the moment because their mind was so detached from their actions in that moment. You see, oftentimes when it comes to anger, we begin to react almost on instinct. And we get on that expressway to sinful anger. And that's when our anger gets to the point that it becomes sinful, right? We have to be careful to slow down, to think. Proverbs 14:29 says, he who is slow to anger has great discernment, but he who is quick-tempered raises up folly. So anger becomes sinful when we just react. That's the R in rage. Let's now turn to the A. A is agitate. Agitate. Anger becomes sinful when it's used to agitate the situation, to make it worse, to throw fuel on the fire, if you will, right? Proverbs 15:1. The Proverbs are so helpful when it comes to dealing with our emotions, but particularly the emotion of anger. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but listen to this, a harsh word stirs up anger. You have a choice. When that first volley comes across, do I hit it back or do I let it go out of bounds? Because it was going out of bounds, right? That first volley of anger was going out of bounds. It always is out of bounds when it's brought in a sinful way. Do I save it and volley it back and set myself up for the spike? We've all seen how anger stirs things up, especially through escalation. That's how it goes. One response has to be countered by a more powerful attack, and then another one on top of that until the ante gets upped and upped and upped, so on and so forth. I see it especially with my two boys, my two youngest boys. A finger poke, then a double finger poke. An open hand push, an open hand shove, a backhanded chop, and an open handed slap, and then a punch to the body, and then a punch to the face, and then y'all, it's on like Donkey Kong. They don't even need a wrestling match, a wrestling ring, right? I mean, the back seat of my 4Runner does just fine. I've seen them do it. Y'all, that's how anger often works in everyday life, even if it stays verbal, right? Sometimes it doesn't get into physical stuff and fisticuffs. Sometimes it just stays verbal, but one insult leads to a greater insult and on, back and forth until you say something that you regret, until you say something where somebody goes, those are fighting words, and then it's on. Guys, this is the way of the flesh. This is not the way of God. Jesus calls us not to be agitators, but to be peacemakers. He says in Matthew 5, 9, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. But when we agitate, y'all, we're peace breakers. And we cross over the line into sinful anger. That's the A in rage, agitate. Let's now turn to the G, which is grip. Grip. Anger moves into sinful anger when we grip it and won't let go. In other words, when we hold on to it. When you hold on to it, y'all, it festers, it grows, it stinks, it heats up, and as our text says, what does it do? Well, it gives the devil an opportunity. Like a volcano, it builds and builds and builds and pressurizes more and more and more until it explodes with great devastation as the devil dances a jig. Did y'all know the devil dances a jig? Every time you blow your top in sinful anger, he loves it. And so that's why you and I, guys, we should not hold on to our anger. It has to be dealt with quickly, expediently. Again, that's why the Holy Spirit here in our text here, he instructs us through Apostle Paul. Verse 26, he says what? He says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. That's a way of saying it. Saying, don't grip it, don't hold on to it. Let go of it or work it out. Let go of it or work it out. Did you even know that was one of the options over here? That you can just let it go? Did you know that? Just let it go, right? That's one of the options that we have. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's insight makes him slow to anger, and it is his honor. It is his honor to overlook a transgression. That means that's the honorable thing to do. It's the blessed thing to do. Just let stuff go if you're able. That should always be the first question you should ask yourself. Can I let this go? Should I let this go? Can I overlook this? Should I overlook this? Now, sometimes we can't, and sometimes we shouldn't. But sometimes we should. And if we can't let it go, then what do we have to do? Well, we have to work it out. We have to work it out. Again, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I want to say this morning that that is not a pacifist position. Peacemaking is not a pacifist position. Now, peacekeeping, if we juxtapose peacekeeping to peacemaking, yeah, peacekeeping is a pacifist position because I'll do anything just so there's not conflict. Whatever you want to do, just do it. I just want to get out of your way because I don't want any conflict. That's a false peace. That's peacekeeping. But y'all, sometimes peacemaking calls us to fight to make peace, right? That's just the nature of it. And you and I are never called to be peacekeepers. We're called to be peacemakers. But as we make that peace, the goal is, of course, peace and reconciliation. That's always the goal. Look, there's no biblical context, no biblical support for the idea of like a Hatfield and McCoy type feud that just goes on and on and on for generations. No, make peace and move on. If you do that, if you hold on to it, that moves into sinful anger. And that's the G in rage, grip, hold on. Finally, let's turn to the E in rage, and that is explode. Explode. Now look, every one of us in this room, we have exploded. And we've been exploded on, right? That anger builds until kaboom. Whether we're doing it or we're getting it done to us, neither one of those is fun. But here's the deal, y'all. When we explode, we give ourselves over to uncontrollable anger, and we move into the realm of sin. Proverbs 29, verse 11, says, "A fool lets out all of his spirit, but a wise man holds it back." Now, the NIV, I think, says it a little more straightforwardly here. The NIV says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." Y'all, there is so much damage done when the fool doesn't restrain himself. Reputations are marred, feelings are shredded, bodies are mangled, lives are taken. And you know, exploding feels right in the moment. But listen to me, it's never right. Exploding is never right. It's always sinful. It always does more harm than good. Therefore, we should avoid exploding, which is the E in rage. And so maybe that mini pack there helps you to kind of begin to understand, where's the line between righteous anger and sinful anger? And so fourth this morning, I want to help point you to some positive things to help us along, right? We just don't want to see what we're not to do. Let's see some things that we are to do. And I want to be a little more general in these four things just real quickly this morning. But number four is I want to encourage you to employ biblical principles to overcome anger, right? The Bible has the plan for you. And look, it talks about a lot of things in here. And one of the things it talks a lot about is how you can have victory over anger. How you are to be righteous and have anger, to be angry and not sin. So let me point you to just four things. One I've already alluded to, but it's this. Be biblically selective in your anger. Be biblically selective in your anger. Now, you've heard the phrase before, selective outrage. Selective outrage. That we use that in a negative way, right? It means like they just get mad about things that push their agenda, right? They just want to be mad about the things that help get their agenda pushed. Well, I'm not using it in that way, right? I'm talking about a positive thing here. I think there's a real biblical principle for being biblically, selectively angry. You and I shouldn't walk around like comedian Bill Burr, if that's what he still is, who's angry at everything, man, just spewing venom on everybody. Again, there are things that you and I should be angry at. And there are things we shouldn't be angry at, right? And there are things we should overlook. But we have to be biblically discerning. We have to be biblically discerning about what we allow ourselves to be angry with. So that's what I mean when I say selectively, biblically angry. Or let me put it the other way, biblically, selectively angry. We've already looked at all sorts of passages of Scripture that point us to that. So that's the first one I would point you to as a biblical principle to overcome anger. Secondly is this, is to plead with the Holy Spirit to help you respond righteously. You are flesh. But if you are a Christian, you are not ruled by your flesh. You are to be ruled by the Spirit. And look, man, if you just work on your own power, if you just work in your own power, you're going to blow it. I've blown it. I've seen me do it. And so will you. And so we've got to call on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. And when we do that, y'all, the Spirit fills us. He gives us what we need to produce that holy fruit that's talked about in Galatians 5. I want you to hear that list again from Galatians 5. And I want you to hear how every one of these are anti-sinful anger responses. Every one of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Every one of those, y'all, is fruit that counteracts unrighteous anger. And so you've got to call on the Spirit in that moment. And yes, I get it, man. It's like when anger comes, it's like a horse that's trying to run away from you, right, and drag you along. But you got to grab hold of that thing. And you got to hold on and say, whoa! And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you lasso that thing and hold it tight and rein it in. Third, this is really key. You have to let anger give you the energy and the focus you need to solve the problem. Let the anger give you the energy and focus you need to solve the problem. In this sense, y'all, anger is a gift from God. Anger is meant to make you productive. That's what it's meant to do. That's right, when that biological cocktail of adrenaline, norepinephrine, cortisol, testosterone, man, they are powerful. And when God put those in your body to inject in that moment, it was put there to solve the problem that you're facing. And so you've got to train that thing to attack the problem and not the person. That's often what we want to do, right? We want to attack the person. A controlled fire can do so much good. I was just on a piece of property last year here in Lauderdale County where the owner of the land had done a controlled burn all across several acres, and it was good for his land. Maybe you've done that with your own land to get rid of underbrush and all the things that come along with pine needles and all of that stuff, right? A controlled fire can do so much good. Or how about this? A powerful stream of water focused down a proper channel can be very beneficial, right? I mean, we've all used power washers, right? Well, all that is concentrated streams of water that do what we want it to do. So in that instance, if you think of your anger as a fire or a flood, whichever one you want to think it of, use that energy, that focus, that boldness that you get from the rush of anger to fix the issue. Concentrate it on the issue. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Fix it. And don't give the devil an opportunity. And then finally, I would say this to you. How do you overcome sinful anger, unrighteous anger? Well, you seek forgiveness when you blow it. Because look, you are, let's be real about who you and I are. Yes, we are saints who have been saved by the blood of Jesus, but we ain't perfect yet. And there are going to be moments when your anger gets the best of you. I'll just confess to you that it did this to me just the other day. My anger got the best of me. And look, I had to ask the Lord to forgive me for how I reacted, how I agitated, how I exploded. I'll just keep it real with y'all. And you have to keep it real as well. Go and sin no more in your anger. But if you do sin in anger, seek the Lord's forgiveness and start again. God's mercies are new every morning. So what I want you to take away with this, if I were to sum this up in one thing, it's this. Anger isn't the enemy, but the enemy will gladly use it to bring your ruin. Anger is not the enemy, but the enemy will gladly use it to bring your ruin. So you've got to be very careful how you allow anger to work out in your life. I wonder what my life would be like now if 25 years ago, there in the woods next to Nolan Lake in South Central Kentucky, when that hickory nut hit me upside the head, I wonder what my life would be like today if I had done what my flesh wanted to do. I mean, would I be in prison today? Would I be in ministry? Would I even have my wife and children? You know, Christy and I were dating at that time. And if I had done what my flesh wanted to do, she may have said, oh my gosh, man, I don't want him anywhere near me. Look at that crazy man, right? So, beloved, listen, anger is not the enemy, but the enemy will gladly use it to bring ruin. So here's my final prayer this morning. May we get control of anger before it gets control of us.